Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to know
the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. Great to have you listening along on this beautiful Sunday morning in the Tennessee Valley. We've got clear skies, and I think the weatherman's promising a little cooler temperatures the next couple of days, and that would be nice if it happened. But it's a beautiful day, and it's a great day to honor our God and to look into His Word together, as we'll be doing this morning here on the broadcast. But also, we'd invite you to come be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock. Our meeting place is 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens, Alabama area, we'd love for you to stop in. 10 o'clock this morning, we'll be practicing social distancing and wearing masks and all that sort of thing, but still able to worship our God, and we'd love for you to visit us. But also, we're online. If you'd like to watch the services and listen to the sermon online, you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, and click on the live streaming there. Or you can catch us on Facebook. We're live streamed on Facebook as well, our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. So a lot of ways to get into God's Word this morning, which I think is something that we all really need to be doing, obviously. God has created us and blessed us and sent His Son to die for us so that we can live forever with Him in heaven. So much to be thankful for to our God, so many reasons to praise Him and glorify Him, and to do that in real ways, like worshiping Him and studying His Word. So we invite you to do that with us this morning if you're able. You know, we're living in a world where everybody has different ideas, they think. But the reality is that a lot of us are just following the crowd. We're doing what others are doing. We're saying and thinking what others are saying and thinking. But that's human nature to a large degree. All of us follow examples. We follow others in so many things, and we don't even realize it most of the time. We learn to live and speak and dress and work and play by watching and listening to others. I mean, we're just people who follow one another. Many times we follow examples without consciously even thinking about it. Don't even realize that we're doing it. You know, styles change. For instance, clothing styles change, but it doesn't take long if a new style comes out that pretty soon everybody's wearing that, right? If hairstyles change for women, it just seems like before long, nearly every woman will be wearing that hairstyle. So we're very conforming as human beings, even though we don't like to admit that. When it comes to spiritual issues, we need to understand that we have a choice about who we're going to conform to. And we'll be getting into that this morning a little more deeply as we go along a little bit later. But we have a choice. That's true in everything, right? Whoever we're going to be like, or whatever we're going to adopt as an idea or a fashion statement or whatever it might be, we have a choice about who we're going to conform to. The reality is that conformity is human nature. I came of age in the decade of the 1970s. And that was a decade where that decade and the one before the 1960s, we were all about not conforming, right? Every young person strove to be unique, but every young person wound up looking and thinking just like every other young person. It was actually humorous once you think back on it. We are all unique, you know, just like everybody else is the reality of it. So many of us are in so many ways just pretty much like everybody else. And that's continued on until this very day. I think back 20 years ago, I hardly knew anybody that had a tattoo. I don't know about you, but 20 years ago, there were very few people that I'd ever even met that had a tattoo. All of a sudden, tattoos become popular, and, you know, everybody and their grandmother has a tattoo now. So we conform. And in the name of conformity, I mean, in the name of uniqueness, I should say, we conform. Everybody wants to be unique and different by getting a tattoo or whatever it is. And so they wind up being just like everybody else. And that's human nature. We don't like to admit that we are followers. We don't like to admit that we are conformists, but in a lot of ways we are. This fellow wrote a book a number of years ago. His name was S.I. McMillan. And the title of the book was None of These Diseases. And in it, he tells a story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. And so she got the application and had quite a number of different kinds of questions on it. One of the questions was, are you a leader? And her heart kind of sank when she read that because she knew she wasn't really a leader. She didn't see herself that way. So she's honest and conscientious, and she writes down for the answer. She writes down, no, I'm not a leader. And she returns the application, of course, because of that answer. She's expecting not to get accepted to this college. But in a few weeks, her letter came back from the college, and it said this. It said, dear applicant, a study of the application form has revealed that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that we have at least one follower. Everybody thinks they're a leader. Everybody thinks they're, you know, guiding everybody else in the way that they're going to go. But reality is, so many of us are followers. We just don't realize that. In the Bible, there's a interesting way that Scripture talks about God's people. This is found in numbers of places in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is that the Scriptures describe God's people as being sheep. Sheep are notorious followers. They don't do a lot of thinking for themselves. If they don't have a good shepherd to follow, they'll follow some lead sheep off a cliff. I actually read a story not too long ago of sheep going to the edge of a cliff, and one of them jumped off, and hundreds of others jumped off the cliff, literally. Happened not too long ago. So when the Bible calls us sheep, it's saying that we're conformists in a lot of ways. We follow. And the question is not whether or not we're going to follow. The question is who we're going to follow and what we're going to follow. In the world we live in today, so many people are convincing themselves that they're thinking for themselves. I actually saw this post on Facebook the other day. Just somebody posted a question, are you thinking for yourself? Of course, everybody would want to answer that. Oh, of course, I'm thinking for myself. But the reality is, as we look at the world today, that there are very few people that are actually thinking for themselves. We are heavily influenced by, what we read and in media and hear and see on media outlets. We're heavily influenced by the opinions of others. There's truly a group think, a couple of them going on in our society today related to societal and cultural issues. And everybody's pointing the finger to people on the other side and saying, you're not thinking for yourself. And when they themselves are not thinking for themselves either. So it's, again, it would be humorous if it wasn't so sad that here we have a whole nation of people really saying, well, I'm thinking for myself, and very, very few of us are. And I'm not saying that necessarily to condemn everybody. That's not the point. It's just I hope that we can understand this reality and understand the truth of this. It's certainly a biblical reality, a biblical truth, that often folks don't think for themselves. Often they are following. They are, their ideas are ideas they've adopted from others. And really, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that if somebody ever does actually think for themselves, a unique thinker and somebody who decides for themselves about everything, regardless of what anybody else is saying, that person is normally labeled as, you know, with a mental problem, crazy or something like that. We don't view those kind of people very kindly in this world. Somebody who's a real individual thinker. So that brings me to what I want to talk about really this morning. When it comes to spiritual matters, especially, we need to make an effort, first of all, not to think like the rest of the world thinks. Now, I'm going to get in a little while to talk about thinking like Jesus wants us to think and following him. But as I said, we're going to choose to be conformed to one set of ideas or another, to one concept or another, to one guide or another. And whatever we choose is going to determine our eternal destiny. Conforming to the world, spiritually speaking, comes easily and naturally to most people. Most people are what they are spiritually because they've just adopted religion from their parents or caught on to the thinking that was going on around them in school or in college or whatever it might be, or neighbors and friends think this way, so that's the way they are too. That's just true of so many of us. Conforming to the world is a really easy and natural thing for most people to do. I think the Apostle Paul touches on that in the book of Ephesians. He's writing to Christians, to those who are conforming themselves to Christ, but he reminds them of a time when they weren't conforming themselves to Christ. He says that Christ had made them alive when they were dead in their trespasses and sins. This is Ephesians 2. And then in verse 2, he says, "In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." What's the Apostle Paul saying there? He's saying, well, you Christians, you Ephesian Christians, at one time in your lives, you were just like everybody else. You walked according to the way the world walked, the course of this world. You were on that same track. You were conducting yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind. In other words, just doing what you wanted to do, thinking you were free and independent. You were actually just like everybody else. That's exactly what he's saying. Just as the others is the way he ends that passage. Again, lots of people in the world wouldn't see themselves that way. And to become a Christian, you need to understand that that's a reality. That without Christ, you're pretty much just like everybody else in your spiritual life. Without Christ, you're following your way. You're following the way of the world. You're doing what everybody else is doing. You're conforming to the ways of the world. So it requires attention and effort to overcome this natural tendency. In Romans 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The word transformed is from a Greek word from which we get our word metamorphosis. You know, it's that process where a tadpole turns into a frog or a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, just completely changes its being, completely changes its reality. You think of a caterpillar and its life, you know, crawling around, eating plants. That's all it knows. And it, you know, spins this cocoon. It comes out later as a butterfly, which is just an entirely different animal. It flies. It drinks nectar, you know, all of these kinds of things. Such a different animal than a caterpillar. Totally different being. The Apostle Paul is saying, be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. The word conformed there also is an interesting word in the original language, but it comes from a word which means the same scheme. In other words, if you're conformed, you're following the same scheme as everybody else. You're doing what everybody else is doing. And the world has, you know, ways that it encourages us to operate, the way we dress, the way we think, the way we talk, our goals, our aspirations, what's important to us, what our values are. The world has things that it pushes on us regarding those things, and it presses us to become like everybody else. But a Christian can't become like everybody else. A Christian is not to be conformed to this world. His whole point is to be transformed to an entirely different being. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, Peter encourages those to whom he's writing to walk as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. You know, when you don't know any better, you're liable just to be like anybody else. But Peter says because of the information that these people had received in the gospel, they didn't need to be conforming themselves to everybody else. They needed to transform themselves. Way back in the Old Testament, there's a great example of a people who were supposed to be very different from the rest of the world, were supposed to be non-conforming when it came to how they related to the rest of the world, but they wound up very much conforming to what was going on in the world around them. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, we have Moses just before the children of Israel are to enter the promised land, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're in the plains of Moab, and they're just about to enter the promised land, probably within weeks of when Moses delivers this particular speech. But in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 29, he said, "When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourselves that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? And I also will do likewise.'" So Moses' warning to the people is, look, you're going into this new land. You're going to drive these people out. You're going to inhabit this land yourself. God is giving this land to you. Don't be like everybody else that was in this land before you got there. Don't start investigating their gods and their religions and going into those things. You just continue to follow God. Just continue to be who you are. Don't conform to the world around you. But, of course, sadly, in the history of Israel, that's exactly the opposite of what they did. They did not follow the ways of God. They did conform to the nations round about them. And that's really the sad history of Israel during this particular time period. So from the time they entered the land, at first they started out pretty well, but then for hundreds of years, more or less, they rejected the ways of God. And we have a passage in 2 Kings 17 that was written hundreds of years later after Moses told them, don't conform to these nations around you, don't follow their religions. 2 Kings 17 is written a long time later, and it says about the people of Israel that they rejected God's statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed idols and they became idolaters, and they went after the nations that were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So the Israelites became conformists to the world around them. And that's why they were rejected by God. They not only became idolaters, but because they became idolaters and follow those false religions, they kind of became like the idols themselves. There's a really fascinating passage in Psalm 135 in verse 14, looking back on all this. It says that the Lord will judge his people and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Now that's pretty interesting. You know, the writer describes idols as, you know, they're not animate objects. They can't speak for themselves. They can't see for themselves. They can't hear for themselves. They can't think for themselves as far as that goes. And what the wise man says is, you know, everybody that follows an idol, that's how they are. They're just blindly following something that itself is worthless and blind. We're not to be like others, those that are following the ways of the world. Sadly, you know, a lot of times there are Christians or those who call themselves Christians who look out in the world and they see a lot of interesting philosophies, a lot of interesting ideas, other different kinds of religions. And so they become intrigued with those things and they want to follow those things and want to conform to what's going on in the world around them to experience all of that. And we make the same mistake, or we can make the same mistake that the people of Israel did so long ago. I think another mistake that we make as those who claim to be Christians sometimes is that we claim to be followers of God, but we're actually just, again, following our own ways. We're not conforming to what God wants us to do. We're conforming to the world in our lives. When Jesus talked about hypocrites in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, he said, "Do not be like them. Do not be like them." That is a constant temptation, I believe, for a lot of people who claim to be Christians. Following others in ways that are wrong, in the ways of the world, is going to ultimately lead us to spiritual death. The world seems to be rather oblivious to that. If you grew up in this area of the country in North Alabama years ago, if you're older than me probably, you might remember Hog Killing Day. You know, that was the day, maybe late in the fall when it got cold, that the hogs were slaughtered. And the men would go down to the hog pen, and it's kind of gruesome, but they'd knock a hog in the head with an axe, and it would squeal and fall over dead, and they'd stick it and allow it to bleed, and they'd drag it off, and they'd butcher it. And the remaining hogs in the pen would just take no heed to that. They wouldn't even act as if anything had happened. They just went ahead eating and doing what pigs do, you know. And the men would return in a little while after they'd butchered one hog, and they'd repeat the process. They'd kill a hog, they'd bleed it, they'd take it up to butcher it. The other hogs just went right on as usual, as if nothing had happened. And this procedure continued over and over again until maybe there's only one hog left to be slaughtered, and he's sitting there as if nothing had happened. That's being oblivious to what's going on, okay? And it illustrates what we're experiencing in this world today. We have a whole world that's, you know, everybody's like everybody else, and we're not spiritually attuned to God. We're conformed to the world often. We're just thinking and doing like everybody else is doing in this world, where our goals, our aspirations, what's important in life is what's important to everybody else. And we're not really looking at what's going on. We are, all of us, headed for eternity. We're going to face our God one day. We have friends that are dying. We have friends all the time that are leaving this world. And we think somehow that, well, that's not going to happen to me, but it will. It will. And what we want to do is not be conformed, not act like everybody else, not pretend like, you know, nothing's going on here that has eternal implications. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, the wise man says, in giving advice to a young man, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful, a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait, shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot with us. Let us all have one purse.'" So here are some young men that they're given to violence. They're going to take things away from others and, you know, live the high life. And they're encouraging another young man to go along with them. And the advice then of the wise man, as he speaks now to his son, he said, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." We're living in a world, friends, that's materialistic, a world where the majority of folks are out for themselves. The majority of folks seem to be really greedy for gain. That's what's important in life. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. But that's not the thinking of this world. And what's seen in this proverb is you've got people that are only interested in material things, only interested in themselves. They're willing to run over anybody. They're willing to oppress anybody, do violence to anybody in order to achieve their own selfish ends. That mindset is really common in the world today in one way or another. It's a mindset that leads to death, that leads to spiritual death, that leads to separation from God for eternity. And just like those, you know, hogs that one after another get killed and don't seem to notice, you know, when their buddies are leaving in this way, we need to wake up. We need to understand what's going on in this world and that we do not want to be conformed to it. So suppose you're walking, hiking in the mountains, and you come to a ledge where there's a gap, and you could jump across the gap, you think, but you watch as a bunch of hikers go by, and maybe 100 in a row try to jump across that gap, and all of them fall hundreds of feet to their deaths. Are you going to try to jump the gap? Are you going to conform to what everybody else is doing? Suppose there's a huge plague of death in a certain hospital, 100 times more than COVID-19, 100 times more virulent and deadly than COVID-19 is. Suppose you have that in a given hospital. Are you going to willingly choose to walk into that hospital where maybe people are dying, all of them, every few hours after walking in? Are you going to walk in? You see thousands of your friends perishing in many forms of sin, without a true relationship with God, and you plunge on just like everybody else. You see how little sense that makes, that kind of conformity. You say to yourself, well, it's okay. I'll get by. What happened to them is not going to happen to me. I'm going to go to heaven. God's going to let me in no matter what, and it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay, not for those who are conformed to this world. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The world is not the example that we're to follow. The world is not what's supposed to be forming our mindset and our values and our thinking and our behavior. That's not what the world is. Christ is that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Apostle Peter said, "For this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." Now, the world today, you can't listen to the news without hearing one lie. I was going to say white lies, but of course all lies are bad, but one lie after another. You can't hardly be involved in anything in our culture without seeing things that are just blatantly sinful. Jesus was different. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, and he is our shepherd. We, all of us, were like sheep going astray, but now Peter encourages us down in verse 25 of this passage to return to the bishop and shepherd of our souls, to follow Jesus. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 4, we see those who are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. We want to be those kinds of people who follow the world wherever it goes, not necessarily. We don't have to think like the world, dress like the world, form our opinions like everybody else does. We certainly don't have to live in sin like everybody else does, so to speak, the rest of the world. We can choose to follow Jesus. That choice is before every one of us this morning. We can choose to follow Jesus. The ones who follow the Lamb, they are redeemed from among men. The word redeemed means to buy back or buy out of a bad situation. God is rescuing us from the world. He has redeemed us from this present evil world. This lesson that we've shared this morning deals with those that we come in contact with in our lives. How much are we going to allow the world to influence us? How much are we going to allow the thinking of the world to guide our thinking? As I said earlier, human beings are conforming beings. We tend to conform to one thing or another, but we can choose whom and to what we're going to conform. And my plea with you this morning is to examine Jesus Christ, the only person to perfectly live in this world, Jesus Christ, the only person to know with certainty in every aspect the difference between right and wrong, Jesus Christ. If you follow him, you cannot go wrong. If you follow the world, you cannot go right. It's as simple as that. You must choose who you're going to conform to. Well, I thank you for tuning into the broadcast today, and hope the lesson has been thought-provoking to you and maybe one that gets you to look at your life. Your interest, even in this crazy world that we're living in where so much is going on, your interest in mine needs to be in spiritual things, needs to be focused on Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to our personal problems. He's the answer to the guidance that we need in life. He's the answer really to our social and national problems too, if we'd listen to him. Jesus is the answer. Again, we encourage you to visit us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ. I think the announcement that comes on in a minute will not give the correct times for meeting this morning, but we're meeting this morning at 10 o'clock because of the COVID pandemic. And again, you're welcome to come or join us online for that worship assembly. We also have Bible correspondence courses on our website that you can sign up for. So we encourage you to check that out, eastside-church.org. And there's a lot of other Bible material and good things to help you as you walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.